Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. We've got a hard cutoff for our little intro music. I don't know who I'm joined by on the stream today. This is not your usual Mark Order crew. I, of course, am Julia Hart / Kate grieving the Yankees World Series because I don't think they're coming back from that five runs on two outs. We'll see. But a pathetic collapse. So the original intention was for this to be like an angel of death coming for the Yankees, and then they ended up winning yesterday. But I am joined by Kushida or Asian Marty McFly. Pick your poison. It's just kind of a matter of which way Joe wants to go with it. You could switch halfway through the broadcast and you don't have to do anything, man.
I could. The sad thing is I had all this stuff just laying around the house.
That's great for you. That's great for you. And I'm joined by Captain Ray. That's what I thought we were going to be going for. These are familiar people, personas to the show. One mocking me, even though my hair's more red now. So ha 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 on you. And the captain, by far the creepiest guy that we've ever had around here. So I don't know what that says about me, that you're impersonating me with the creepiest person you've ever been. But how are you, knock off me with a beard and a captain's hat? How we doing?
Well, hello there. It's me, Rate, on a boat. And I am just looking forward to all those young men running across the boat.
I'm not a perv or a ditz like that. I feel like that's unfair, but
you're both. You're the boat and the hoe.
Now, see, that I can get behind a little bit more. That I can get behind a little bit more. But we have a lot to talk about and not a ton to talk about on the news and notes front. So we're going to get into a couple of things right off the bat that happened on tonight's show with these two clowns that I am co-hosting with here. One is actually pretty cool. He's fucking Marty McFly. And the other one is a cheap imitation of me.
So on a boat, telling lots of people they can't say no because of the implication.
I should think of a Kate system or maybe a rate system.
Yes, I would like to point out for anyone listening, this is an imitation of Kate. This is very specifically my imitation of Kate.
There was a week I wasn't here. The first week that you were on board that I wasn't here, I think. Or maybe it was the first time I had an extended absence. You chose to just fill in for me with the blonde wig, which honestly, not the worst wig. Not the worst Kate wig. My hair looks like that when it's blonde. So that's not terrible. Admittedly.
Now,
I would
it's
like
an
to
excellent
think
wig.
I don't
Wait,
have
wig. This is my real hair.
I would like to think I don't have the stubble going on that you got, the facial hair.
See, I'm you when you haven't shaved for a few days.
I don't really get facial hair, though, really.
That's what you think.
I'm me, and I would certainly not be wearing a 76ers shirt. Come on, now. Do better.
You found it at a Goodwill.
Still no. I would not be supporting a Phillies team. Though my basketball fandom is kind of for sale in the same way that my football fandom was with how I became a Steelers
Yay!
Fan.
Yay! Yankees took the lead. Yay!
Did they really? For real?
Yeah, 6-5.
Who homered? Because we only score on homers.
Oh, no, you had people on base.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Let me look. Stanton hit a sack fly.
No way. Stanton getting an RBI, get out of town. Nice to see that they have some life to them. Let's talk about who we got in the chat a little bit here. Taylor Cannon, who's always incredibly supportive of us. Big G, Pieces, Scott George, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Lord Kev, Jamie, all the way from Australia, a Spurs fan. Okay. But but we're going to dig into this episode of Dynamite. Not a ton on the news front, so we'll kind of start with the big news that closed out Dynamite. We had a Bobby Lashley debut, long anticipated. Love that for us. I thought the match with Shelton and Swerve to set it up was perfect. I don't know if there's a better way that they could have introduced this guy if you weren't going to do it at WrestleDream. Like, God, the guy's made out of granite. He looks like a million bucks. The outfits are impeccable. I thought this theme fucking kicked ass. Great work by Mikey Ruckus on this one. But a really, really fun program to start with, going with a Lashley-Swerve feud. Both of the managers there, Swerve, a top guy, facing Bobby Lashley coming in, who looks great. Like, this is such a great way for Bobby to come in, and I'm really looking forward to this. I'm assuming this program is headed till full gear. Shelton looking great in the matches that we've seen him in. This match was sick. I loved what we got at the end of the show. And overall, I think a pretty strong episode of Dynamite. My only complaint, not enough frights. Not a lot of costumes. Not a lot of spooky spots. Darby Allin propelling from the ceiling, like, real quick was fun. But, Joe, how did you feel about Dynamite overall, but the big news of the day, the Bobby Lashley debut?
I thought Dynamite was a big step up from last week, obviously, from the past couple weeks. They really, really loaded the show up with star power, even though not everyone wrestled, but there's just a lot of people on the show. And I am with you. I thought we were going to get at least one pumpkin smashed.
And no, sure, pumpkins were hurt. Something, yeah.
I thought maybe the Young Bucks would put pumpkins on someone's head and super kick them off, you know?
Oh, but that's the spot. That match was fantastic, too. We're going to get into that in a second. But before we do that, I'm going to go over to... Oh, I'm no longer on a boat. Oh, yes, I am. I'm gonna go over to Captain Rate over here. Since you're known for rating things on a fun scale, perhaps... Well, I guess you're not, but our friend Ryan...
I'll do my best impression of Ryan.
I would jump off a bridge if I really sounded like that. Oh my God, I might have just peed a little. 4 out of 4 funds. If you're new to this, Ryan, when he's here and not Captain Ray is here, he has a fun scale because he thinks everything is a lot of fun. And because I'm a hater, this garbage is not for me, 0.
You know, if Ryan were in the Lego movie, he'd be singing, "Everything is awesome."
It's true. It's true. The Lego movie, underrated. Underrated,
but... very underrated. Great.
What did you think of this Bobby Lashley debut outside of it being a 4 out of 4?
I'm gonna do my impersonation of Ryan now so it's easier to speak.
Fair.
Lashley is, you nailed it. The music was awesome, the presentation was great. I like the phone call of being like, why, you know. Seeing how it played out, he's going to fit in so well. And what I like is the Hurt Business, even though there was chaos at the end, or Hurt Syndicate or whatever they call themselves, even though there was chaos at the end, I'm getting hair in my mouth. There was...
Welcome to being me for real, though.
They feel so different than the other stables. You have the silly, you had what was, and I don't know where they're going to be now, but you had what was the silly heels in the Elite. You have the menacing, destroying everything heels in the BCC. But now you have, they're still heels, but you have the professional heels, the ones out to make money and really just out to make money. And I like that because everyone's a little different then. God, I really got hair on my face. But
it's so funny watching you try and keep the hair out just straight up out of your mouth.
But Lashley, like I said, I think Lashley is going to do awesome. Shelton Benjamin's doing awesome. So they are going to have to add people. And I know there's been talks and rumors of who they'll add, and I hope they do, because two people don't really – like, you need a couple more to be, like, especially in AEW, to be, like, a truly threatening – stable. And this is, you know, I think they need to be. And I like that they're starting with Swerve, because there was crossover there was whatever, but it shows them how important they are, because thank God this was my first costume, because they started with the former champ. You can always just, it's the same way that they reestablish Switchblade as important. You start out with someone who's huge, and then those people are of equal importance.
Yeah, and what I've noticed is we're getting all these recruitment tactics, right, from MVP, which I think have been great because he's going after a lot of people that it's not like they're all going to inevitably say yes, that stable would be way too big. Like, I don't think Ricochet's joining his stable, but he's targeting former champions every time he's going after someone, including Mercedes, right, or current champions like that. So I love that he is making a lot of offers, but they're only to people that have held gold or are currently holding gold. And I think that's so important to back up what he was saying against Nana, right? Like, he has to be a caliber of manager who only works with champions. And we're going to talk about what the hell that was with Stokely Hathaway and Private Party tonight, because they just won without him, which I'm glad about, but it was a weird angle to do. But we'll get into all of that and more. Not nearly enough frights, but let's talk about the other noteworthy thing on the show, or the other most noteworthy thing on the show, which is that Private Party tag title win. I felt like this was a fantastic match, man. The crowd was so invested in a way that they haven't been in this title reign before. The hope spots, every single one of them were working. Like, the crowd was living and dying by every single move. I thought it was so clever to have, it was Quinn that was out for a while, right? And just all the damage that Cassidy was taking, the counter to the V trigger of just getting out of the way, I thought was super, super clever. This match was so much fun. The ring bell spot, but I feel like what a healthy move for this tag division, finally. There's going to be such fresh matchups, finally, with Private Party in full swing. It'll be nice to have babyface champions because we're so heel-heavy on the title front right now. We'll start back with me. No offense, Joe. I'm just kind of partial to myself, you know, and we started with you last time. But I think this was a win all around. It's kind of fun that they did this on Dynamite since they didn't do it on the pay-per-view. I like the feeling that titles can change hands on Dynamite. They're trying to get live attendance up, right? Let's assume that things can be super interesting on weekly television too. There was a little bit more story behind it because of the initial loss on pay-per-view and then getting back here. Rate, what do you rate this? And also, are you as optimistic and enthused by this as I am? I felt like this was such a productive move tonight.
Well, as I continue my Ryan impression.
Kayfabe, brother. Kayfabe. Come on.
No. This is Rate doing her Ryan impression.
Honestly? Dead on.
I don't know what you're talking about, Cushy Joe. I rated a 4. It's, oh my God, I may have just peed a little. This match was awesome. I wasn't the biggest fan of how they initially brought Private Party into this, only because they'd been losing. I'm gonna start playing with my hair.
There's a lot of losing upward right now that they need to correct.
If they had been winning, I would have just give them a bunch of wins, even if they're against lower card teams or whatever. Just let them win, and we see them winning. However, that loss against the Bucks, they did have a couple key wins, and that loss against the Bucks, where they were so close, somehow just changed. Even though it was a loss, it changed it where, like, oh, I think they can do this. So
agreed. It was such a productive loss in that way. Yeah.
Yes. And this match was so well laid out that, you know, Cassidy just refusing to quit. But I also love that they pointed out that Stokely called Cassidy the breakout star. He's going to be the singles guy or whatever. But I like it was that Quinn made that save.
Yes, very much so.
And, like, that was huge because he came in and made it all work. So, like, I really think that fits. And it really freshens up the tag division to have them win.
Ryan doing his impression of me, or Rate doing the impression of Ryan, however you want to look at it. Seeing what's happening with your hair right now, now people can finally understand why I'm always fiddling with my hair on podcasts and why it's pulled back so often. But Joe, we had like a double stipulation on this match, right? It was either this team wins or they break up. And I wanted them to win anyway because I felt like it was the right move. But on the other side of that, I was like, no, this is one of the few tag teams that's working, that's over. This is someone we want in that tag mix. Men's singles division is plenty loaded, especially right now. We finally have like the healthiest roster that we've had in a long time, especially hopefully Omega is on his way back. So what did you think about this match and the win? And also, were you as like, they have to win because I'm repelling the other stipulation with this too?
Yeah, I thought the stipulation I felt telegraphed it a little bit for me. Just I couldn't imagine them being singles people. To your point, there's a lot of young singles talent right now that they're pushing. So they would, if they were to break up, they'd kind of get lost in the shuffle. So they need more younger tag team to ascend to the top. And having this, you know, passing of the torch moment where the Young Bucks are pretty much lose to a team that probably looked a lot like them as far as their charisma and their in-ring ability. It probably was a lot like wrestling them from, you know, a decade ago or, you know, 15 years ago. And to see, and even to have that little sign of respect at the end of the match, I think that's a good nod. And to Big G's point about him not liking all the false finishes, I'm not usually a big fan of them, but they worked really, really well in this match. And when the crowd isn't tired of them, that means that team is super over. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can ask for a better way to, you know, propel Private Party to another level.
I agree. And it's funny, like I've had my complaints about the middle to the end of this Young Bucks run. I really liked what was going on in the beginning, but somewhere around that Blood and Guts match, it started to fall apart. You know how they fixed it? Reminding us they're one of the best tag teams in the world and putting them in the frickin' ring. Because every time that they're in the ring, they give great matches. And I think the chemistry tonight was just, I'll say it, dynamite between these two teams. I thought the pay-per-view match was great too, but whoever produced this, I would love to know, because I'm with you, Joe. Like, the layout of this match was great. I personally am a big false finishes gal. Like, when they're done this well, I'm really into it. But just hearing the crowd be this alive for tag team wrestling again was such a refreshing thing, but good.
I will also say what helped them was the fact that the Young Bucks had split up SCU at some point in their run in AEW. So it wasn't out of the realm that AEW would use the Bucks to split up a popular team.
100%. And also, like, all the everything that happened tournament wise. And yeah, that's a really good shout, Ryan, Kate, Rate, Captain Rate. But some really, really good and productive stuff that happened tonight in this tag team division and a really strong dynamite. We're going to get into more of it. Now that there's a few more of you piled in here, we're going to ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video if you could. It helps people find us in the algorithm. And, you know, I don't know if there's anything about us right now that's going to grab people's attention on a thumbnail. Like, it's kind of, we just look so average and normal. So if you could leave a thumbs up, that would be so helpful. We thank you for chatting along with us. Please hang out with us. Keep those comments coming. If you're listening in audio form too, please leave a 5-star review across audio platforms. That would be so lovely. But right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We have a ton to talk about with this episode. It was jam-packed. Adam Cole looked great in his return. So much to talk about on the way. But take a listen to our friends at the Shining Wizards Network, and we'll be back with more.
Sorry, I'm a little slow because I can't see that well.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Broadcast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And if you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jax. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We
currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about.
Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster.
I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rope podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Nards plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast for two men. Two men, Duke Banks, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke? Oklahoma.
Once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rope podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing. You got a slight one in there? If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about a slight one. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there.
A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh, no. Kate is gone. Well, have the States come and got her, see? I don't know, see? Oh, she's back. She escaped, see?
You are a conspiracy theorist, newsy man, it would seem.
Newsies don't sell papes. Conspiracy theories sell papes.
You know what? I can't even argue with that. And in today's world, but we got Kushijo. We've got an old-timey concerned citizen. We've got me who...
Madame.
Like... The Yankees are only up 6-5, so I don't fully want to lift the veil, but there's like this... The hope is so much worse than just accepting that they're going to lose the series, so I'll keep it down for now, but we'll see how it goes. But we have a ton of dynamite.
Wait, Kate, do you remember your favorite part of The Concerned Citizen?
The ponytail. All the weird conspiracy theory guys have that dumb weird hair, so it's perfect. But
dumb? I'll let you know this was the hottest thing in 1832.
I don't doubt that, because my friend Ryan has a blog called Here for History, and I'm sure he's going to do a hairstyles entry sometime, but what an episode
he
of
may
Dynamite.
Be looking for stupid entries, and that's not a bad idea.
I'm gonna get the show going now, but...
No!
We got so much to talk about. We had the Adam Cole in-ring return. We have Mark Davis returning in this episode. The Bobby Lashley debut and so much more. I felt like tonight was a home run of an episode. I still have some problems with the structure. There was only one match in the entire first hour. It was long and it was a banger, but still feeling very, very talky. I would like to see AEW get back to more matches, especially when you have things like... a situation where MJF is going to beat somebody who gets three wins first and Roddy Strong hasn't had a match yet. I don't think he had one on Collision. So, like, we need some room for some in-ring. But overall, my complaints about the segments were not to do with the content. It was just more the layout. And, again, not enough frights. Not enough scary things happening on this episode. But as far as complaints, I'll take those, especially in comparison to last week, which I felt like was a bummer of an episode, but was kind of setting the table for something like this. Kushijo?
Yeah, I think we're getting to the point where Dynamite is just going to be that show where you're going to have maybe a 50-50 split with talking and wrestling. And, you know, I know a long time ago Collision was always going to be the heavy wrestling show. I haven't really paid attention if that's been the case still, but it definitely feels like we're trending that way after all these, you know, past few months of lots of talking segments and backstage segments.
Well, the problem with that is two things. One, we're getting a Continental Classic again, as far as I know. So that's going to have to change by nature, right? Like the C2 is just round robin matches and a ton of them. what I liked about last year's C2 was it felt pretty well distributed over the course of the brands. So I would like to see them get back to that. The other thing is, we're coming down the home stretch of this year, and Joe, you're right, it's definitely been that way for the past few months, but, like, 2025, we don't know what shows are going to be in play, right? We haven't heard that there's a home for Shockwave, if that's still going to be a thing. Last I had heard, it was something that was a plethora of options, not less options, so it's just a matter, I think, of where and when it lands. If it lands on Fox, they might say, let's not even bother until after college football, right? So let's not bump out Friday nights. But if Rampage is going away entirely, I don't think that'll affect things too much, but Collision might look different. It might be on a different day. Like, how things are going to shake out in 2025, we don't know. I don't know if they know that, but Ryan, are you under the impression that the C2 will rebalance things, or is that just some conspiracy theory that I cooked up?
I don't think it's a conspiracy theory here. But even as a concerned citizen, I must do my impression of Ryan to continue talking.
Sure.
But don't worry, I will have my pipe at all times.
Thank God.
I don't know if the C2 will rebalance things, but they need something to rebalance things. Listen, I loved tonight's episode. I thought it was great. I can't find where I saw the comments. Someone saying, like, tonight's episode was a good version of what they tried to do last week.
It is, actually. That's a fair thing.
You can't keep doing this. This isn't what your fans signed up for. This isn't what they want. Like you said, WWE is doing this twice a week, and they're doing it well now. So why are you trying to do it too? Now, that being said, they've now done 2 weeks where they've set up a lot of story. In theory, in a conspiracy theory, they could go multiple weeks now heavy on matches and not need to tell as much story because they've laid the foundation. So if the idea going forward were to be, we'll take time, couple weeks to lay foundation, and then we'll have extended periods of just really a lot of wrestling, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
But it can't be this week after week. Otherwise, someone's trying to bring down the company, see?
I agree with you, and I will say this episode still flew by, even though it was not wrestling heavy. I think because the matches they did have had a lot of time, so that was helpful. It still felt like there was a lot of breathing room, even though there were a ton of segments.
Two of them did.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what didn't happen in the women's match in a little bit. But before we dive into this Orange Cassidy promo, which kicked off the show in a really fun way, Eric Freed's with a great question for the concerned citizen. How did Ryan let Ophelia win at Quizplex? If you want to give a quick plug to Quizplex, too, from our friends over at Love Wrestling.
See, as a concerned citizen, I must tell you, even I love Quizplex. It's a charity wrestling game show. You go, you donate some money to a good charity of your choice or the winner's choice, usually, and then you can rig the game show in your favor. Ophelia only beat me once. However, Ryan's candidate, I am definitely not Ryan.
No.
Ryan's candidate won last night in Little Mean Kathleen, though I must say, she nailed the final question on her own and guessed what the budget was for Boogeyman's worms in WWE. Either of you two have a guess if you didn't watch?
$47.
Or is it U.S. dollars? What kind of currency are we talking about?
U.S. dollars.
Okay.
How much do you think, Joe?
Per year, per show?
I think it was per year based on the number I saw.
654.
Oh, you were both a very, very low. Now, this is according to Court Bauer, so we got to take it with a big, big, big grain of salt.
Sure.
But it was $30,000.
$30,000 for worms?
And she guessed it exactly.
You go on an exotic vacation, you'll get worms for free. You know what I mean?
Just eat some bad food, see?
Huh?
You know what, Kate? I just realized this. A difference between old-timey concerned citizen and Ryan is it sounds like old-timey concerned citizen surprisingly supports women. If he's supporting Ophelia winning.
Well, no, that was Ryan who donated for LMK.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Ryan really, I'll speak for Ryan for a second. He does not, his whole goal with LMK was to have it so she would win and get zero questions right. And that had been the case. However, she ruined that whole thing by getting like three right. So I don't know what to do now.
I don't know.
He doesn't know what to do now.
Trust what this guy is saying. So I'm going to assume that Ryan still doesn't support women. But let's get in to this episode of Dynamite. This starts with a Jon Moxley vignette that we've been accustomed to for the past few weeks. And we have Orange Cassidy interrupting for a rare live promo. And I said, finally, all my complaints about the playbook being stale have been heard. And this was fantastic. I really, really liked this from Orange Cassidy. He gives promos so rarely, but when he does, they're really good, and they're more impactful because he's not out there giving them every week, I think. Like, his delivery was a little stilted in places, but I think for the most part, he killed this. He essentially asks them to cut the camera. He's out there in his dark denim, so you know it's, like, so for real with him. But he says he doesn't like doing this. He doesn't consider himself a leader, but he watched Chuck Taylor get his neck crushed, and he looked around and realized he was surrounded by the future of AEW and that they are very young and that they have no idea how much danger they're in. But he says that he doesn't exist without AEW, which I said I think means that AEW is his parents. But he essentially says he has to cut the head off of the snake here. And he challenges Jon Moxley for the title, and I love that. I love, love, love that he's coming out with some teeth here. I love that he was resisting the idea of being a leader, but kind of inevitably just accepted that that's going to be his role because he's one of the more experienced guys on the good side of things. It feels like this is the build that we wanted for Blood and Guts, and we're getting it later, right? Like, we're getting it. I don't love that this is literally just on the heels of that failed angle, and it's another soul of AEW angle, but this one I think is actually being approached extremely well, and I really like what's going on with it. Old-timey concerned citizen, you seem eager to jump in on this. You've made a couple of punctuation. No,
that was me packing my pipe.
Oh, but there was a lot of pointing at me. I don't know if it was agreement. Or may I interject?
Oh, yes. I agreed with your points. I liked him interrupting the Mox promo. However, once again, going to fade into my Ryan character, because that's just the character I play.
Sure, no,
so that
of
I can
course.
Speak yeah. a little more easily. Yes, I liked that he interrupted Mox's vignette, because I was getting, not that the vignettes are good, but I'm getting sick of them. Like, yeah, can't do it every week, so this is nice. Orange Cassidy, I know we were all saying we'd like to start out with wrestling, and I don't backtrack that, but Orange Cassidy never does these promos, so it felt unique, and it was awesome. I love that he ended with, and I still don't need a catchphrase. I like that they didn't drag this on. He got about three weeks of, like, what is he going to do? And that's about as long as I like a what is he going to do angle. I don't like it to drag on for months and months. It gets boring. Like, at some point, I'm like, shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, and this is my conspiracy theory. Oh, man, I faded out of Ryan. I think they saw the bad angle, not the failed angle, Blood and Guts, and then they went into this BCC angle. But I think they're now trying to dovetail it. And I know I'm stepping on a later segment, but I need to because I'll forget the point because I'll be scattered brain. The Buck saying we tried to change this. I think it's a nice way of, like, trying to dovetail, like, they were trying to take it one way to avoid this way.
Yes.
And I hopefully they continue that of, like, don't pretend they were good guys because they clearly weren't. But they knew that, like, whatever this big story is, they had heard rumblings that was either going to do this or if they didn't get control. You know, so they tried to lead it and no one wanted to be on board. I like that because then you can't make up for how they kind of dropped the ball on that a little bit, but at least it doesn't erase those past months. It just builds it into a story that is clicking on all cylinders.
Big time. I agree with you. I liked the acknowledgement that we got in this episode. I didn't love how separate and long both of these segments were, though. I felt like this could have been condensed into one segment. You would have made some breathing room for that women's match, maybe snuck a second one onto the show. It was creatively justified, but it just feels like, again, like an umbrella angle eating up this much real estate on a show feels very WWE to me, but this one has been well done. So it's a complaint I'm happy to have because I think the content is still very strong. So I think that's good, but Joe, I'm fired up by Orange Cassidy. I love that we have the history between him and Mox to play off of, too, with that international title. Now, John is a firm heel and a world title holder, and Orange Cassidy is asserting himself in that picture for the first time. I thought this opening segment was a home run. Ryan seemed to like it. What did you think?
I think I'm in agreement with both of you. I thought it was really solid, and like kind of freshening up the opening part, him cutting off the video and how it looked like he kind of stopped mid-play. And even before that, I liked the intro to Dynamite tonight. With it gave it a pay-per-view feel with a lot of the updates of what's been going on. And through his promo, I really liked the fact that he would kind of weave in and out of his almost out of character promo, and then he would kind of slide back into that, you know, nonchalant Orange Cassidy promo where it's kind of aloof and just one word. So I kind of liked the back and forth he had of that. And I'm looking forward to their match, and I think I'm almost more looking forward to, I don't expect him to win it, so I'm almost looking forward to what this does to him. You know, after he reluctantly takes on this leadership role, and if he falls short, what that will do to him.
I'm intrigued by that too, and I also am curious to see if it goes to, is he going to face Claudio and Wheeler, his former best friend, and all this too. We're going to talk about the Wheeler thing in a little bit, but like, does Orange Cassidy have to go through this stable almost in reverse, or how does that happen? Who's up next for Mox? Is it Darby, and then Darby gets put out so bad, and then in real life he goes and climbs Everest? Like, I'm intrigued by what's being done for everybody involved, so I'm with you. And I also, your point about it going between a little bit more passionate and aloof, I love the, like, sunglasses coming off is like, now we're getting real deal, and then he throws them back on and he's like a little bit more chill. It's, yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, we kind of have that vibe going on tonight. You're like casually weighing in, and then when it gets serious you can throw them back on. But really strong start.
I'm wondering who the man behind the glasses is, though.
It's Koshijo. It's literally,
it's, oh, on, it's Koshijo. It's the, okay, it's, and it's, I was confused. Where'd he go?
He went back to the future. But I've been begging for them. Thank you so much. Begging for them to freshen up the playbook. They did, and they did right away tonight. There's a couple of things that they did very productive tonight. But we move to this Mercedes Moné and Camille segment backstage with Renee Paquette, who, man, this woman's just trying to do her job, and everybody's being so mean and cutting her off this episode. But
do you blame them?
To the
her husband is causing mayhem.
I know, but like,
you don't think she knows about it?
Renee's the best. I'm more
concerned. I think she's in on it. No, I think she's in on it.
Well, of course you do. But I'm concerned for Renee, if anything. They've got a baby at home. But really strong segment here. I like these. Like, some people aren't on board with the Mercedes delivery and character, but I feel like for this it fits, and I've loved the relationship with her and Camille. But she's basically just putting over Camille and Chris in this. I really like what she says about Chris. Like, she's strong, but she can't hold a candle to Camille. She like acknowledges that Chris is a threat, but is like, have you seen my gal? Which I liked in this. And Renee wishes her good luck, and she gets offended by that. Like, she does not need luck. So I like what's being sown here. I am disappointed about what happens in the match later, but I thought this segment was decent enough. We'll start with you, Joe. What did you think of this?
Yeah, no harm, no foul with this segment. I think when Mercedes isn't wrestling, I think she does the role of kind of being a mouthpiece for herself and for Camille, and to get themselves over and also get their opponent over. I think she does a really good job at that. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about how she does that wherever she's at, whether yes, it's here, New Japan, any promotion. So I think it's a good use of her.
I mean, she's basically my best friend, so it's nice of you to acknowledge that about her. But Ryan, what did you think of this segment? Or, I'm sorry, old-timey conservative who does an impression of Ryan so that he can talk easier.
Conservative? No, see? I'm no conservative. I'm not
concerned
a progressive
citizen. Sorry.
I do not vote. I, the government, is rigged.
I mean, you're arguing a show with a woman and an Asian, so I guess you're not that conservative.
Thank you.
I mean, I can't vote. I have no rights right now. So
yes, I'm letting a woman speak. I'm crazy.
I'm a concerned citizen.
Citizen is concerned for the Yankees right now.
Oh God.
Bases loaded, no outs, top of the eighth.
Of course.
But that being said, I really enjoyed this Mercedes thing. Like you said, not everyone's into her style, but I actually think it works when she's a heel because she is kind of WWE in her cadence and stuff. But like, it makes her hateable because it stands out in this company. In WWE, it's kind of what everyone sounds like. But for her here, it stands out. And I like that because it makes her different. And you're right. She put them both over. And I think Camille looked like a badass just kind of standing there. Like, in some ways, having Mercedes talk for her makes Camille look more like a badass. Like,
yeah, she's just there to wreck people. She's not there to talk, right? Oh, Canely watched the bases loaded. Another great call by the brilliant Aaron Boone. Let's just leave him in there to walk the bases loaded. Let's just talk about this match now because it was so short and so much of it was in picture, unfortunately. But we do have Chris Statlander beating Camille. The Saturday Night Fever as a reversal to the Tombstone pile driver is so cool. This being 6 minutes and 40 seconds is inexcusable when you had this much talking on the show. But, I mean, this was 7 minutes, powerhouse, everything you could want. And then post-match, you get Mercedes attacking Chris from behind with some tenacity and yelling at Camille to go to the back. So a nice, like, seed of dissension zone. I think a very, very early one. But Mercedes does not like to lose, man. So that is, unfortunately, like, there's an Anna Jay vignette later, but that's all the women's action you get for the night, where the men's and tag matches, which was a title match, so that's fair. Got a ton of time. But Joe, what did you think of this match? Was the collision of these two powerhouses enough for you? I feel like it also got hurt by being in picture. It felt like we were back in old AEW women's match days.
It was very much a little sample or a teaser of what I wanted. Because on paper, going into this, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm like, I want to see two people of equal size and strength go at it. We don't always get the two, you know, powerhouse women matches like this, unless it's Willow and someone else. But I thought this match was, for as short as it was, I thought it was a much better match for Camille. I think having her go up against someone like that played to her strengths as well. But like you said, yeah, it got hurt with the picture-in-picture plus being as short as it was. So hopefully they run it back, and maybe Camille can try to prove herself again.
Yeah, I feel like the picture-in-picture especially, because with two women that are just going out there throwing bombs at each other, around 7 minutes isn't too short of a match, but when half of it's, you know, picture-in-pictured away, that's a bummer. But not Ryan, but kind of Ryan, what were your thoughts on the match?
Well, let me get back into my Ryan character, see? It was too short. I would have liked to have seen a longer. I think they could have actually had a better match with more time. I think sometimes when you shorten it, the players rush to, I say players because I'm looking at baseball while talking wrestling for Kate. I'm doing this since she is the host. I'm trying to be a good friend. But the wrestlers get a little rushed and they it doesn't flow as nicely. So I would like to see a rematch with more time between these two. But I do like the style they went at each other. They played to their power. I almost said PowerPoints, and then I was going to have to pull one off, an Excel joke. It was going to be bad, so I stopped myself early. But, word. I do appreciate that Stat was one of three people that dressed up.
Yeah.
She had the vampire look. Then you had Daphne as...
Jamie Hayter,
and what's his name? The guy who does the voice, the announcer.
Justin Roberts with Pee-wee.
Justin Roberts, yeah. With Pee-wee Herman. I meant to say this at the beginning of the episode, but, you know, the captain rate wouldn't let me on, so...
Ugh, typical.
I had to... I know a lot of fans hate it, but I personally love when WWE does, like, a trick-or-treat match or a whatever. It's, like, it's for a holiday. It's fun. Like, I like the silliness every now and again for that stuff. Like...
You know what it is they do too many sillies in a row in WWE, I think, where you have Halloween, you have Thanksgiving, which is usually like a food fight, and then you have a Christmas street fight or whatever. They have three in a month, but they also now have five special guest referees matches since SummerSlam, so like they don't care. But
see, I don't even mind those three if it's for a holiday.
Sure, I can understand getting fatigued on it because it's like you just switched the thing out. I more like it if like
6-6
there's on and out.
Sacrifice no, flop.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm just reading the chat.
So one out, 6-6 one out in the eight.
One
first and third.
Oh, good. So they tagged up too. Awesome. I more like it when they work stuff in, like when they do candy corn instead of tax or things like that. Like I think that's fun.
Yeah, I mean that's you don't have to do an entire match, but like Joe said, have this Young Bucks super kick a pumpkin off someone. That is
yeah, fun. yes, that I'm extremely for. They just, you know what it was? They set the bar so high so early with the Stay Puffed moment that it's just like. It's like Kofi Kingston in the Royal Rumble. Like I'm now expecting that spot. I'm expecting something like that. Not to mention, like you have, of course, like, you know, the Nyla and the shark costume. Like they've had so many great gimmicky moments that now that's my expectation. But let's move back to this episode of Dynamite. Adam Cole, baby, in the ring with Bud Matt. And holy hell, did these two show out. This was so much fun. It was so nice to see Buddy Matthews in a longer singles match than we're used to. This got a lot of time as Adam Cole's in-ring return should. But this was built around the idea of Adam Cole is too fragile. And there's a spot in the match where he appears to re-injure himself. He limps off after Doc Samson's like, it's not worth it, man. It's not worth the long-term damage. And then Bud Matt is like, you're a bitch. And Adam Cole's like, hell no, I'm not. And he gets back in there and they start doing the we're wailing punches at each other spot, which is great. That is so corny and I loved every second of it. It's the most textbook babyface and heel work. But This match I thought was fantastic. The superplex by Matthews in this was nuts. Your sunset flip attempt from Cole, but Matthews rolling through and snapping the ankle I thought was extremely well done. A great way to get to we're attacking that. But Adam Cole lowers the boom, hits the 1-2-3 on that. Some really good stuff. Some really good stuff in this match. We'll start with Joe. I thought this was great. It took Cole a minute to settle in. That might have even been storytelling, but he looked like a little bit hesitant at first, and then it felt like he really got going on this.
Yeah, I liked the way they built the story around the match with him and his hesitation and kind of feeling out his ankle and trying to get back to form, and the fact that, you know, Buddy really did him a favor by, you know, pushing him to a different level.
I see.
And when you were talking about that, the Buddy's reversal there, where he kind of rolled through and with the ankle, and then he eventually put the ankle on the stairs, stepped on it three times or four times. It looked brutal, but the only thing that I had a problem with in the match was for someone who had a fragile ankle, who did the whole halfway walk up the ramp spot with Doc Samson, to come back and do like three Pamela Sunrise attempts. I'm like, you're going to jump off the turnbuckle multiple times and then jump off from the apron to the ground multiple times on your bad left ankle. That one,
yeah,
time,
that's fair. Like,
one time, sure, we'll do the adrenaline thing, but the other times, that's a little much.
Or he could have even done the, like, I forgot spot, right? Like, the he lands on it and is like, oh, shit. But that very fair. Very fair criticism. But I thought this was really, really fun. And, Ryan, what did you think of this?
Well, see, I have a conspiracy. I don't think Adam Cole was actually hurt when he was out there with his ankle, see? I think he was just fine. Because he got back in that ring and he was able to perform. And he was able to perform at a high level. And I think if your ankle was really hurt at that point, not in the past, but at that point, I think your ankle was really hurt. I don't think he would have been able to do that, see? So I think he was just fine. But otherwise, Ryan will speak. And he thinks the match is very good. I did laugh at that fake injury thing. I was like, you have to do it because it's his first match back since such a serious ankle injury, where the news just came out this past like week or so of like he needs a cadaver bone and all. Like, I mean, everyone knew how serious it was, but like that shows. So I think you had to do that. Daddy Magic? Anyone else knows Daddy Magic was better this week?
I felt like he was a little bit better, and the chemistry was much better. There was just like less of them trying to talk over each other and stuff.
I just think like in this match he was better. Like he actually provided some wrestling insight, like, you know, talking about getting used to the boot, stuff like that. I think the boot. Kate's too depressed to even laugh at my accent. I don't know what to do.
I'm just getting so many text messages, honestly. Getting so many people like,
we got out of the inning. You're only down one. But if Adam Cole was able to come back in his first match and do this, we're in for a hell of a run. And mix this with his promo later, and it's awesome. And yeah, Buddy Matthews needs to get more solo matches.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with this faction, because it feels like they've kind of run its course. But post-match does not look like it's run its course. We get a shake of the hands between these two. The light goes out. And I actually thought this was kind of cool. When the lights go back on, there's still a handshake happening, but it's Malachi Black shaking his hand. And I just thought that was kind of a cute way to be like, now you face me, without being like, you might have survived Buddy Matthews, but now you're going to face Malachi Black. Like, I thought that was a pretty clever way to state the obvious and to do it differently than anybody else is doing it, and to do it quickly. Adam Cole having to pick up 3 quality wins and not just calling out somebody that's a jobber is kind of funny. I'm like, you have to beat 3 guys, but none of them are going to be easy. Like, that's pretty good babyface stuff right there. What did you guys think of the post-match? I'll leave the floor open.
Concerned says,
I think. I get very concerned that these lights keep going out. Who's their inside man? Who's controlling the electricity?
Yeah, somebody in the truck government is definitely in the stable.
Yes, somebody's in the stable. Or is it the government? Are they funding House of Black? Someone should look into this. Though I'm with you. If he has to just beat all 3 members of House of Black just for no reason to get to MJF, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, like, I need 3 wins and one of them's going to be against Brody King for some reason is kind of silly.
I just went through a stable and the guy I want to face has nothing to do with that stable.
Nothing to do with that stable, and also, like, couldn't go Brandon Cutler into a match or something.
Like, can't now.
See, I'm waiting for Rogers to do that, for Rogers to be like, you know what, I'm going to pin you, Matt Taven. I'm going to pin you, Mike Kanellis.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing to do. I wonder if that's also, because we do see Kyle O'Reilly watching backstage. The industry is just dead. Kyle O'Reilly, of all people, is just watching this television straight on, which is not of anybody who's going to be watching it, honestly. It should be KOR. But what did you think about the way this ended in the post-match here, Joe?
I like it. I like the fact that we're getting the kind of matches for Adam right away coming back in. Otherwise, if you had a story built, these would be, you know, pay-per-view quality matches. And
yes,
I like the fact that he's going through, hopefully he's going through the House of Black. And like we talked about just a minute ago, like I'm curious to see what Rod will have to go through.
Agreed. Yeah, it does seem. There is a little bit of a thing right now of everything is happening on Dynamite. Like, Jon Moxley put this whole company on notice if you work on one specific program of the 3/4 brands that they have, right? None of these matches, which are of consequence, are happening on Saturday. So I need them to even that out a little bit more. But later we get Adam Cole backstage. He's getting checked on by the trainers. And he says he doesn't blame MJF for his ankle hurting, but he blames MJF for trying to be his friends. He goes through all the people that MJF betrayed in the past, Wardlow and Sammy Guevara, Garcia, and he says this isn't his first rodeo, which I thought was a cute way to bring up Undisputed Era without bringing up Undisputed Era. And that they were never meant to be brochachos, and that he's going to try with every fiber of his being to get his hands back on Max here. This was a nice little through line for the Adam Cole progression. I think that that match at Full Gear is likely, and I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. What did you think of this part, Joe?
I think it's fun. I kept watching it. And I'm just waiting to, when's the Kingdom going to turn on? When's the Kingdom going to turn on?
Sure.
So you see Ryan just kind of chilling in the background, just kind of, you know, waiting. And every now and then, Adam would kind of acknowledge them. But otherwise, they're kind of laying back there, just waiting. And I don't know. It felt good. And I'm curious where Kyle plays into all this, because he's obviously going to factor in somehow.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see kind of what happens with the conglomeration in general. It seems like that can be fizzled out a little bit, but concerned Ryan, old-timey citizen man, what did you think of this?
This seems like a little bit of a, I don't even want to call it revisionist history. I think someone's straight out lying. Adam Cole might be a sociopath. Oh, I just did it because you put other friends, so I forced you to be my friend so that I could hurt you first. That's sociopathic.
That's fair.
I mean, I get it. He's the babyface now, and he had some logic of, like, I knew you were going to betray me, so I just got to you first. But, like,
you did the punch. Yep.
Yeah, but it still feels like he's the one who made that friendship happen.
I think it's good because it's something that MJF can fire back with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, it's actually good storytelling. Because if you want to, you can look at it and say, I'm just going Adam Cole straight up. He's the face. I'm cheering for him. Yes, MJF was going to betray him. He's right. Or you can see the truth behind the cut-in, that Adam Cole's a sociopath and MJF did nothing wrong.
Pick your poison is the way that it goes there, but we're going to move along. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind. I'm going to need all the thumbs ups we can get because the Yankee season is going to end on a catcher's interference. We have some more happening backstage. A lot of backstage segments or a lot of, like, advancements of stories that happened really quick. I think we could use some vignettes for some of this stuff. But we do have a Mark Davis return in this, which was so great. Don Callis and Kyle Fletcher come to the ring. Kyle Fletcher says he's got something to say, and he calls out Will Ospreay. But it's not Will Ospreay that comes out. We hear, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. I miss that theme. I love that theme. And pleasant surprise, Mark Davis comes out. And this is short and sweet, but really well done. Kyle Fletcher, of course, with his new bald look. But he says, I don't even know who you are anymore, man. You have changed. And that they used to be a united family. They were a united empire. And Will never cared for Davis or Fletcher. But you can't forget about Will because he hasn't forgotten about him. But Kyle remembers that Mark had a spot for him in the family. What family? Mark Davis says. So this was a great way to bring back Mark Davis. I think he might seduce him to the face side just in time for Australia. And I think that could get really, really interesting because he's killing this heel thing right now. But I think this is a fair one to slow burn. I'm assuming Mark Davis's appearance means he's either ready to go right now or will be heading into that Grand Slam show in Australia. Concerned citizen man, what did you think of the Mark Davis return? This was a genuine surprise to me, and I thought it was really well done.
So you mean to tell me Mark Davis got from Australia and into that building and Kyle had no idea? Suspicious. Mind you, suspicious.
You seem to be a little suspicious of everything, concerned citizen.
I don't know why, but I know that Ryan likes this, and Ryan thinks this is, like you said, it's going to be a slow burn to Kyle turning back to face, reuniting the empire. I think the Callis family, or someone, I don't even know if it's the Callis family, but someone's going to really put Will and Mark Davis in a very bad position, and Kyle's going to have to save the day.
So you're saying where there's a will, there's a way.
Are you reading my mind? Do I have to see if you're part of a government agency?
I am. I'll just make it really easy for you. You don't have to be that concerned. Joe, what did you think of this Mark Davis return? I was genuinely surprised. Were you surprised?
I was. I know. I thought we've heard kind of rumblings that he was getting close to being able to return. But I didn't even think about him popping up tonight. So pleasant surprise. He looked great. Looking forward to where this is going. You guys are kind of leaning more towards the slow burn of Kyle returning to face. I kind of thought maybe Davis would kind of go the other way, even though he really doesn't fit in the family. But I like him better with Kyle. So I wherever Kyle's at, I just want him to be there with him.
I think a lot of people I saw were saying heel, and that also aligns with Private Party, right? Like, if they're faces and they still have the titles going into Australia, if it's going to be a tag team win for them in Australia, which it doesn't have to be, they could do a trio with Will Ospreay and they could be six-man champs, who knows, right?
The problem there, though, and I just want to say, is that, like, the Callis family, Kyle, is a singles guy. Like, they've done this whole thing as, like, he's a singles guy in the Callis family. So it'd be weird to then bring in Mark Davis to either be a singles guy on his own, because not that no one wants to see him wrestle, but like people want the team reunited. So it almost feels like Fletcher has to go back to being face so that he can go be a tag team member again.
That, or they would have to do a lot of creative work, right? But they have a lot of time. So we will see. But
they can always go back in time.
They could go back to the future.
Where did Joe go?
We have Renee backstage with Hangman Page. The match is official for Full Gear. Page and White will meet in the second round of the AEW title tournament. Page beat White in the second round of the AEW title tournament. And when White comes back, he looks for Page, not the world title, which is pretty solid justification from Page, I thought. He says he's going to give him he will give White beating him at Wrestle Dream, but there's no such thing as redemption, not for you, not for Hangman. There are wins and losses, and there are consequences that come with them. That's how wrestling's supposed to be in my book. But he knows what Jay White's strategy is, but does Jay White know what Paige will do? Which I think is pretty fair. The man lit a house on fire, which he references here. He says he'll break his ankle if he needs to, but at Full Gear, he's going to be the one standing tall. Good stuff. Very, very rooted in both of their stories. I thought this was great. I like it when things are rooted in why'd you come for me instead of the title? Talk of wins and losses. This is my shit. I like wrestling that's based on this. What were your thoughts? We'll start with Concerned Ryan.
Why is Hangman not in jail? The man burned down a house. Who's paying for his bail? Who has earned his favor? We need to look at the government. But aside from that, at least they're justifying, like you said, why didn't you go this route? You went, why did you go to, why are you going after me? Like, what's all, like, you're right. That is a great justification of everything. Their match at Full Gear should be wild. I mean,
I saw.
3 outs. sorry, I'm doing Joe, like, I don't
finally
know what
wakes up and we can't get him in. Figures.
Yeah. But it's just gonna be insane. I can't wait for it. That's all I could say.
Joe, what did you think of this?
I thought that Heyman has a really great way during the promo to make the feud feel like it's the biggest feud he's ever had.
I feel
like they're so intense. Like, you would have thought they'd been feuding for, you know, 8 years over something. And I don't know what, it's just these promos makes them so personal and so violent. And I'm concerned about Juice Robinson being lit on fire.
That's a fair concern, I think.
So yeah, it's just, that's my takeaway from Heyman.
Yeah, he's done. I feel like this show has desperately missed Eddie Kingston for the reason you just said. Like, the ability to make things feel important immediately is not something that every wrestler can do, but damn, can heel Hangman do it. Like, killing it. Well, we get Jon Moxley and crew showing up. I gotta say, I'm not normally like a thirst over wrestlers gal, but this Claudio look, working for him. Looking. He looked like a GQ model tonight, but he comes out. And Jon has the mic. Sorry, I just got a text from Sean. I had said to Sean, happy Shelton Benjamin versus Swerve Day, because I knew he was going to be excited for that. And he said I just got a text that just said, poured water all over my pants as a bit. So there you go. That just came up while I was reading.
Or water and a bit. Hey, sure. Water and a bit. That's what he wants you to believe.
He peed his pants. If peeing your pants makes you cool, consider me Miles Davis. But,
that's disgusting.
He says he doesn't expect Orange Cassidy or anybody to understand what they are doing, but they'll appreciate it in time. And he says, you challenged him for a title? No, Jon challenged Orange for a title when he had Chuck Taylor's neck in a chair, which I thought was really, really well done. They walked into the room and ask who's in charge, and everybody points to Orange Cassidy. That's not the Cassidy that he knows. He doesn't want to catch the fat and lazy spell. No, he has pushed Cassidy, and he hasn't even begun to walk in the valley yet. And he basically goes on to pilmanize Wheeler Yuta. And Orange Cassidy hits the ring immediately. And the numbers game starts to catch up, and here comes the Dark Order. You got John Silver getting his arm broken by Jon Moxley in this. You have Pac and Claudio trying to do to Orange Cassidy what they did to Chuck Taylor last week. But it's Darby Allin doing a Sting impression, immediately propelling so fast, which I thought was really well filmed. Top Flight come out. Leo Rush comes out. Private Party and Danny Garcia come out. So this is all really, really good stuff. I felt like this was very well done. In the dovetailing that Ryan referred to before happens here. This isn't a match or anything, so they're just kind of brawling all over the place. And the Young Bucks just kind of come out as a way to end that segment and head to the ring for their tag team match. And that's where you kind of get this told you so moment, which I thought was really, really well done. And we move right into the tag match. So a lot happening here. This did eat up a lot of real estate on the show, but it was a nice set they built tonight. Joe, what did you think?
I like the fact that Mox is doing the whole, he's doing the same thing. He's trying to do Orange Cassidy a favor by, you know, tough love, really. And I like the fact that Wheeler freaked out when he, you know, they put him into the chair, and then they had to look kind of like Marina kind of slaps him around, like to remember that he's doing things for the greater good. And so when he's out of it, and then he jumps and attacks Orange later during the beatdown. I'm curious to see what they do with some of the other teams like Dark Order and Top Flight, but like, since they've had their matches with the BCC already now, so like, do they have more matches with them, or are they just kind of extras who can kind of come in and help run people off? So you had like Garcia come out and some others. So it's a cluster, but it works for the story.
The Dark Order, notably a heeled trio on ROH, but Concerned Ryan, old timey version, who I'm genuinely surprised you've stuck with this gimmick this long into the show. I'm genuinely impressed. What do you think of this? And I know that you liked the dovetailing too. So what did you think of everything we got before that moment? And then we'll get into this tag match because it was a banger.
Didn't we get into the tag match already?
A little bit, but we'll circle back on it.
You're surprised I stuck with this gimmick, but what if this is the real Ryan? You don't know, do you?
It's true.
That being said, Darby looked like he was dead when he rappelled down from the rafters. Just kind of hanging there. And then he couldn't get it off. I like that, what's his name? Alex from the Dark Order came over and was like, let me help get this off you because the thing is stuck to you.
Yeah.
And I like Joe pointing out that Wheeler had to be talked to and then he got in the fight. But what I liked about that was it wasn't the typical heel trick of like, oh, we're going to hurt him. Fooled you. We were never going to hurt him. Like, I'm glad it wasn't that, that it was like, no, this was going to be a thing. And he's so, I don't know, indoctrinated into this culture of this group that like they could do that and he could just be okay with it. So it was a fun way of doing it. I'm with you. I wonder what they do with you guys, what they do with Toph Light and Dark Order. ROH doesn't exist, so that's not even a conspiracy theory. That's just true at this point. No. So their heel status there doesn't matter. I kind of hope this is how they use this as a way to get like some momentum for these teams. So I know they've had their match and they're lost, but they can keep taking this and being like, we're getting our asses kicked. We gotta get better. Someone is holding us down. Let's find that man and get him.
Agreed. Well, we did kind of already talk about that tag match, but a hell of a match that it was. I'm interested to see where the Stokely thing goes, and we don't have to harp on this match, but I did want to talk really quick about what might be coming up now that we have new tag team champions. Where do you guys think the Bucks go? Who do you want to see as contenders for these tag titles? I have a feeling FTR is probably going to lean heel soon. I would like to see Private Party versus FTR, but we got to get some fresh teams in this mix, right? So MXM being comedic heels is something that could be a very fun program with Private Party. Like that could go very silly places, but who do you guys want to see Private Party face, and what do you think is next for the Young Bucks?
Their opponent is different. I can go, Joe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good heel opponent for Private Party off the bat. I think it would be someone relatively lower on the cards initially, just so they can, you know, get a win and build up their resume again. Maybe Concerned Citizen has some in mind. But for the Bucks, I think they go off TV for a little while based on what we see later tonight. And you know, they come back later, maybe Kenny comes back around that time.
That could be a really good call. That could be a really good call. I think there's a dalliance waiting for Kenny Omega. But it is tough right now to think of heel credible tag teams because they've done such a piss poor job with this division of late. But you know, there's possibilities of pulling from that fabled promotion ROH. Like you could just do the Iron Savages, or you could do I think Top Flight is waffling right now. Maybe that's where Stokely Hathaway goes to turn somebody to face them. They seem pretty involved in the face side of things, but I think there's possibilities there. Ryan, anybody off the top of your head that you can think is contenders for against Private Party? Certainly you could pull from a faction. You could do someone from BCC. You could do someone from the Don Callis family.
What the hell happened to Grizzled Young Vets?
I don't know. They popped into mind, but like they just kind of went away. So I know they were on an appearance deal. I know they weren't like
maybe they wanted to go back to England for a little bit because they are British. So that's the problem, is like they're a great team where like there's instant whatever there and there's a level.
What happened? There's
yes, Joel.
Sorry, I just thought talking about teams. Cage and Archer.
Oh yeah.
They were talking about how they wanted to go after gold. So
that could be.
That's a good one. It's a decent win for Private Party. Mm-hmm. And we know that Archer is always a team person for a champ to beat in a title defense. So it seems
perfect. I'm with you. That's a good call. That is a good call.
I'm going to dovetail this into the other Bucks section where they get chased out of the building after they shredded evidence. they likely go away for a couple weeks. I do find it suspicious, mind you. Where was Okada? He was in the room when they were shredding evidence, but he wasn't there when they ran.
So there was a spot in here where he took out Quinn, right? And Rick Knox is an idiot and just assumed that Quinn took himself out, I guess. But he was suspiciously not a part of that angle that you were talking about. But what a match. What a fun thing. I think the Young Bucks have worn out their welcome with this gimmick. So if they go away until Kenny's ready to come back, I've got no problem with that.
My question for is, what do you think they were shredding?
The plans.
Just generically, the plans.
The plans.
Step one, make money. What?
Step three, profit.
Everyone has a plan, and they were destroying the plans.
Fair enough. Well, we will go to this Penelope Ford and Jamie Hayter segment. Poor Renee, just trying to do her job again. And Penelope Ford points out that after 2 years, Ford is going to take everything from Jamie. And 2 years ago, Jamie says she should be so lucky that Tony Khan agreed to no physicality. And next week, we're going to get Jamie wiping the floor with Penelope. This is a perfectly fine just advancement segment. The big thing here is that Jamie Hayter looked like Daphne from Scooby-Doo, and it was great.
Correct. And it bothers me that Penelope Ford's catchphrase isn't built for tough.
I think that might be taken, but there'd have to be a sponsorship there.
That could be doable.
Any maybe thoughts on this show?
No, I thought it was just a build. I always be surprised. I'm kind of like if Penelope somehow won this match. I think they could have a couple of matches. I think she could, for coming back, I think she needs the win more than Jamie does initially. So
it's kind of tricky because I feel like right now there's a lack of top contender faces on the women's side, and they have two heel champions. So I think they really need for Jamie to look strong so she can enter that picture. They just can't be like, in case of an emergency, throw a Willow Nightingale into it anymore. But I agree, like, it would be such a big win for Penelope that I kind of want to see her win this too.
Are you guys smoking something? I have the pipe. What is going on with this theory? I disagree greatly.
I thought you had more characters in this. I feel like you went on three characters.
This is a mixed match of four characters, I'd point out. There was more, however, couldn't find a certain cowboy hat. Someone might have stolen it, or Ryan might have just thrown it and not know where he landed it. And there was... No, this would be about
It looks like your apartment is impeccably organized behind you, so I can't imagine you just threw it somewhere. What a bachelor pad.
I was worried people would see me, so I was tempted to cover my face, but it is very hot when I do that.
That is fair. You also have a computer behind you, and you're on the computer, which is interesting. That's not a TV, I just realized.
When researching conspiracies, it is best to have multiple computation devices.
That is fair. Well, Chris Jericho still sucks.
Not even a conspiracy, just truth.
Just a fact at this point, yeah. He talks about how Meltzer gave his ladder match a 4 stars, and he's a New Age champion now, and he couldn't have done it without Big Bill and the Bad Apple, and much like Terrifier 3, Jericho was the quarterback in. He's the quarterback of AEW, and oh my god, I feel like I've been hearing this promo for 3 years at this point. Looks like we're gonna get a trilogy with Mark Briscoe. So it kind of feels like they're going to keep this going on until the C2 maybe, and Mark can take some losses in the C2 and then beat Jericho at Final Battle to win it back. I don't fucking know. Do you guys give a shit about this? I don't.
I feel bad for Mark being stuck in the vortex, and I don't think anyone's underestimating Jericho's run as an ROH champion. I think he's overestimating himself.
Yeah.
And the line about taking ROH to places it's never been, I think rock bottom might be that place.
It's true. It's true.
You gotta burn it down to rebuild it.
If he means taking it to places it's never been from like a title perspective, he could just show up on his own show, but doubt that'll happen. AJ's backstage, and they just kind of do a quick promo here. She's gotten a lot more comfortable since that Stardom excursion band. She really... in every aspect, her footwork in the ring is better. She seems a little more comfortable on the mic. I think it's been beneficial for her, but She's just continuing to build here. Not a lot to say about it, except for me, like, I think she just did a good job with this. Like, she just feels like she's really settled in. If you guys want to weigh in on anything.
I think she just has done a good job of, you know, taking the opportunity with, when you have Julia out, you have Sky Blue out, some other of the young talent in the women's division out. Her stepping up has been a real, not a surprise, but a real, you know, something maybe that I hadn't had on my bingo cards initially for this year.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Ryan, do you think her talent is enough to overcome how absolutely hideous she looks?
I don't know.
It's a tough question because she's...
It's a tough question.
She's really hard on the eyes. You know, she's a...
Sorry. I also got distracted because I noticed the thing on... While I was searching Yankees, I noticed a thing on Twitter where there's a new movie on Netflix about sending someone back in time, and it's to 2003. And that hurts my heart a little bit. That's now considered back in time, so...
Yeah, that's like totally vintage now, 2003. Yeah.
That hurts my heart that you're seeing things and it's like, oh, I would have been in the heart of high school. Well, not me, but Ryan. I didn't go to high school because they didn't have them when I was born.
Of course.
I agree with Mr. Kujijo. So how you say your name? Kuji? Kushi?
No, the more you say it, that makes it even better.
No, I don't know how to say it with the British with the accent I was doing, which is my problem. I don't do accents well. We've established this.
I don't think it's so much Kushi. I think it's Kushijo. Kushijo?
Kushijo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kushijo.
Not Kushijo.
I honestly was messing up because of the hyphen.
Fair.
I was trying to make it phonetic, but, you know.
I know, but I have a bad accent, and I don't speak it well.
You're talking about Concerned Citizen and Ryan, and both are true.
It's true. Both
have the same flaw. It's like we're genetically bonded. That being said, I like what is happening with Anna Jay. She should keep this momentum.
I agree. This women's division keeps rolling. That match was too short. But we do have this backstage moment here. Alex Marvez is trying to get a word in with the Bucks, but Jack Perry tells him to buzz off. And Danny Garcia shows up and straight up high school bullies him against the walls of the locker room here. And inside the locker room, the Bucks are shredding documents with Brandon Cutler as Okada is looking on. So that segment feeling, we kind of touched on it already, but just a nice quick recap on that. And our women's match that we already discussed happened. So we review the whole patriarchy deal with Kip Sabian and Hook. My notes X'd out. That's not great. Bear with me. Ah! Hang with me, little notes. We're almost there. Aaron Boone will get fired, right, guys?
He will not. He brought his team to the World Series. As bad of a coach as he is, they will not fire him.
You know what? They only have to decline his option year, though. I think that might be what actually does him in. Because his contract is out. They just could decline picking up.
You are very optimistic, and you are wrong.
They could have had Terry Francona, but he's going to be wasted. He's going to be wasted on the Reds.
KJ, what do you say?
Anything for the downfall of the Yankees, I'm for. So, whatever. Keep Aaron Boone. Shea.
Christian has Nick Wayne, Mama Wayne, and Kip Sabian. He wants to extend an olive branch to Hook so that he can explain himself. And we jump to the main events. We do have a Mark Briscoe response promo. I don't think there's anything in, hey, you mentioned my brother again, so we're going to have a third match is basically what that is. But Swerve versus Shelton Benjamin. Nana and MVP out there. Man, MVP has fit like a glove in this promotion with everything he's doing. What a fucking natural. This match was incredible. I loved everything we got in this. The belly-to-belly throw over the top rope was ridiculous. I love Swerve kind of still. He's not totally comfortable being back in the ring after what happened with Adam Page. He's facing a monster in Shelton Benjamin. Shelton's like stalking Swerve in this and hits one of those incredible release German suplexes that he does. This had everything you would want in it, but Swerve wins. We get a flatliner at the end, but Swerve can't get the pin. Swerve goes up top and Benjamin, what did I write? Swerve is up top, but Shelton Benjamin flies up to meet him. And then we get the Liger bomb from Swerve and your Swerve stomp to end it. I normally like the house call more than I like the Swerve stomp. But for this sequence at the end, I thought this was perfect. Like, I really, really, really liked how this ended. And then post-match, MVP is on the phone with someone, and here comes Bobby Lashley. He looks great in this, like, maroon-colored outfit that he has on. MVP chokes out Nana with his cane. Benjamin sends Strickland, like, directly into Bobby Lashley. He gets put in the Hurt Lock, or whatever he's going to call it here now. But MVP grabs the mic and goes, "Guess who's back in business?" And he should have said that. Guess who's back in syndication? Very, very, very strong way to end the show. Very, very strong way to end the show, as opposed to the Yankees, who are going to go out with a whimper here. What did you guys think of this ending? And thank you for being on this with me, so I'm not just eating vegan ice cream in bed and crying while the Yankees ruin their full season.
As someone who is genetically tied to someone, mm-hmm, whose team was one of the best all season and blew it in their first round of the playoffs, I feel for you. That being said, this was amazing.
Yeah, this ruled.
The match was awesome. These two are just two of the best. I don't know how Shelton's over 50. It doesn't make sense. And what we said earlier, Bobby.
It's crazy. Like, when you consider that, guys, he's 3 years younger than Jericho. That's fucking nuts. Like, because there's guys like RVD can go for his age and stuff too, but Shelton Benjamin, like, if he was a decade younger, we would still be saying the same thing, I feel like.
I mean, it goes back to, he was probably one of the best pure athletes they ever had. And I'm sorry, Kate.
That's okay. If it wasn't going to be today, it was going to be game six. So,
correct. That being said, a good Dynamite, a fun Dynamite, and a bad Yankees series. However, as a non-Yankees fan, not upset. KJ over there may be upset, and I'm sticking with KJ because his accent does not work with that name. So KJ over there is doing fine. KJ?
I am doing fine, but say my name and put some respect on it.
It sounds offensive when I do, and I don't mean it to. This accent doesn't work. It's unintentional. If you notice the way I emphasize certain syllables, I cannot say it right.
Fair. The match slapped. I mean, it shows what, like, Shelton has always been a main event caliber singles guy, but he just never had some people believe enough in him as a singles wrestler to be a main event guy beyond mid-card. I like the way the match is kind of built with Swerve being kind of the aggressor and kind of on the offense, trying to prove something, while Shelton kind of had like a sly look on his face, and he's very much on the defensive early on, and kind of, you know, like he's done in earlier matches, just kind of toying with his opponents. And the one spot I guess I'll call out would be when Shelton sits out of the 450, and then he carries him into a deadlift German suplex.
Ridiculous.
To your point of how old he is and he's doing that. That, I mean, that was amazing. And I'm glad we finally got Bobby in his delicious raspberry black cherry looking suit that looks like a fruit roll-up.
But, it kind of did, the way the leathering was. It really did.
But he pulled it off. I don't know what I know you're a big suit person, so I don't know what you would rate his suit, Kate.
I mean, this was like a 9.5 out of 10 suit. And then on top of that, like, the way he came out and the music and the whole, this, The execution of the introduction of the Hurt Syndicate is one of the most perfect things that they've done in a really long time, in my opinion. Like,
and they're really, MVP, I thought they're going to be really motivated. They're going to be really motivated to just have a, you know, middle finger to the E for not using them as well as they should have.
I think so. I think so. I think when you say we don't see color, that also like is probably something that motivates them to be a force in Black culture on a show that already has a lot of outstanding Black representation. And yes, I mean, just chronic misuse of Shelton Benjamin. Lashley got some good love toward the ends of his. But like for the majority of his career, not so much, right? Like, I think if EJ and Duka ends up in this, that's someone that they passed on him in NXT, which is hysterical. Because that guy, I feel like, is just his look alone would make him a force in WWE. So I'm with you on that. But like the MVP coming in and then Shelton Benjamin being introduced and having these matches against these guys and... you know, now Bobby Lashley showing up and the recruiting that's been going on, weaving in and out. Like, this is one of the better things they've done in a really long time as far as introducing a new talent. They seem more aware of that. Like, they're not like, hey, we signed this guy and now he just has some matches. Hologram had a really cool introduction too, right? Like, I think they're getting more intentional about that kind of thing. So, some really, really, really good stuff.
I want to give an opinion here, though. Not a fan of the suit. I prefer the more traditional look. I think this was what, all leather? Is that what I was seeing? Was the jacket leather?
Just the trim was. Like,
oh, then maybe the maybe I the... just have bad vision, and I do. I need new glasses. That is getting worse and worse. I
tough
like
to
a more traditional
glasses
suit.
When you're stuck in the 1800s, it's not.
These doctors will tear out your eyes.
Yeah,
but
it's not great.
I like a more traditional suit. He wore it many of those in the other company, and I think they were delicious and delightful, and that's what I prefer. Sorry for interrupting. To the you.
It's okay. What I think actually worked about this suit was like it was so contoured to his body that I think it just looked like it, like he looked like he was gonna bust out of it like a superhero. So but a really, really, really strong Dynamite. Not enough Fright, not enough women's wrestling, but some really excellent stuff that did occur on here. So we are going to wrap this up now. But before we do want to let you know that you can, we don't have to do the whole pulling up the website thing. We'll just let you know that if you want to go to Pro Wrestling Tees, I'm sure they have some Halloween bullshit sale for 10% off or whatever. If you're gonna order anything, if you're ordering new merch coming out of Full Gear, please consider picking up a Mark Order t-shirts. The designs are our logos that you see right here on the background as of right now. So before we get out of here, we're gonna let this guy and all of his personas tell you where you can find him.
You can't find me anywhere. I hide. But you can find Ryan.
He's off the grid.
On the socials at Mark Order Pod. He runs them. Don't be a dickhead. You can also follow his history blog here for history.com. I hate it because it's accurate. He eliminates all those conspiracy theories and it's accurate and I can't stand it. What do I tear apart for accuracy? But you definitely can go here for history.com. Back to you, Kate.
Well, we'll throw it over to Marty McFly over there. We'll throw it to Cushy Joe. Where can people find you specifically, like in this year? Where can people find you?
In this year, you can find me on social media at _AsianJoe, which is the name I go by in this year or this variant. And then in my bios on my social media platforms, you can find a link to my cereal review blogs.
There you go. When he's not.
What is
learning...
a cereal? Ugh.
When he's not. Oats. Learning Johnny Be Good. That's where you can find him. You
the
can
kids
find me
love it.
Being depressed because the Yankee season is terrible, but then happy on Sundays because Russell Wilson might be good. Who knew? Not I, but I'll be clinging to my Steelers on Sundays when I'm not doing that. You can find me on Fightful Select on Mondays, and for every PLE and pay-per-view that I'm not in attendance at, on FightfulSelect.com. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays reviewing NXT ROH and SmackDown. I don't know what we're doing next week yet because both shows are on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. But you can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. Thank you so much.
Now, I hear that people like to hear me walk this out. So I'm going to put on the outro music and then click the screen. So first the music.
Goodbye. And
this concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.